The next case to be heard is 2009-2057, North Royalton City School District Board of Education versus Cuyahoga County BOR. Mr. Lindholm, when you're.
Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Jason Lindholm, and I am here on behalf of the appellant property owner, Reiser Foods Company, and I would like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. The first issue that I would like to address for the court this morning is the issue of recency and what the property owner believes to be the non-recent character of the sale that took place in this matter. The record reflects that the sale took place in 1998. The price was predetermined in 1998, and that such predetermined amount was not recent relative to the January 1st, 2005 tax lien date. What the property owner believes is what occurred near the lien date was not a sale, but a transfer of the property at a price predetermined over 6 years prior to the lien date and approximately 7 years from when the price was negotiated and determined. As far as I'm aware, there are no decisions from the Board of Tax Appeals, the Supreme Court, or any other court that show a sale more than 3 years old to be indicative of value. And within our briefs, we have numerous citations from Board of Tax Appeals cases that show the probative value of sales, but only the sales occurring within 3 years of tax lien date.
How do you square that analysis with the relatively recent HIN LLC decision where the court looked at not at the time a price was negotiated, but looked at the time of the filing of conveyance fee statements and recordation and that?
Right. And in the HIN case, there were two separate transactions. Here, we would argue that there was a conveyance fee statement obviously presented by the Board of Education at the Board of Revision hearing, but that was rebutted by the property owner. And I will address that in more detail when I get into what we would argue is the shifting of the burden. But in our opinion, that conveyance fee statement was rebutted by the property owner. Okay. And in fact, that we would argue that the only sale that's relevant is the first sale that took place in 1998.
Well, but what occurred in 1998 is I looked at the record. I mean, it's basically a ground lease that contemplates a sale during the term or at the end of the term of the lease, right?
Yes, that's correct. And it's a buyout provision. And once that buyout provision was entered into, there was no choice on the part of the other party as to when that sale took place. Mm-hmm. So it could have taken place 2 years after it was determined, after the price was determined. It could have taken place more than 6 years, which is what actually happened. So there was really no choice at that point in time when that option was going to be realized. The Supreme Court recently emphasized the importance of revaluing property every 6 years in the AERC decision, 5713.01, and the auditor updates county values every 3 years, according to statute. Professional appraisal standards only require analysis of sales within 3 years of the effective date of the appraisal being prepared. The property owner would argue that all of these requirements point to the acknowledgement of changes in market conditions that will happen over time and the declining reliability of any sale that occurs once 3 years has passed. In this case, the property owner argues more than 6 years has passed since the determination of the price that eventually was consummated more than 6 years after that time period. Despite all these important considerations for evaluating the recency of a sale, the Board of Tax Appeals neglected to perform any analysis as it relates to the recency of the sale in this case, which they were also recently admonished for in the Weber sisters case that was before this court. In the case of a sale that's more than 6 years old, the property owner would submit that any sale more than 6 years old should be presumed not to be recent as a matter of law. And
now, but when you say a sale more than 6 years old, of course, we have to distinguish between a sale that was consummated 6 years before and a sale where the price was negotiated, but then it was consummated within a year after the lien date.
That's correct. And we would argue that for purposes of valuing the property, that later transfer is not relevant, and that the sale price was determined more than 6 years prior to the lien date. That was the price. There were changes in the market conditions, obviously, over a six-year period. You know, even when the county auditor mandates that you have to revalue properties at least every 6 years, they're acknowledging that there's going to be changes in the market. And there's going to be changes in the market most likely within 3 years, which is why they're required to update values every 3 years.
But I guess in formulating your argument, when you say the sale has occurred 6 years before, it creates kind of a
right. Well, when I say
odd implication,
it does, and it because the sale price was negotiated, it was predetermined. There was nothing that was going to change that sale price. The lease specifically says the first 6 years, it's this price. The next 6 years, it's this
five,
price.
Yeah, so five. But of course, every contract of sale. I mean, most sales are pursuant to contract. This is an unusually long period, and you're advocating for a position that where the period from the negotiation to the consummation is too long. And I guess one thing to be said about that would be, well, if things had changed so much, then perhaps the parties would walk away from the contract. And in fact, they went through and consummated it.
Well, possibly they would, but they were bound by that contract, and they were bound by the buyout provision. And they did not have a choice in the matter when it came time. It was the landlord exercised all the power. The landlord had all the power as to when that sale was going to be, when that transaction was going to take place. And the buyer really had no
authority. Is there any evidence in this record, any actual evidence in this record of a change in circumstances that the contract became unfavorable to the buyer?
Not necessarily that it became unfavorable. Our argument is that due to the extraordinarily length of time, that there's no way, the sale didn't occur within a reasonable length of time, that the price was predetermined 6 years prior, and that there's no way to rely upon a sale price that occurred or a sale price that was predetermined and set 6 years prior, over 6 years prior to the lien date.
Well, and there's some suggestion too, since there was a contractual obligation, does that affect the voluntariness of the sale in your view?
Well, I think obviously there had to be some voluntariness to enter into the lease itself, but I don't believe we're talking about the underlying lease. I think we're talking about the specific buyout provision within the mm-hmm. lease. And I believe that should be distinguished from the actual lease itself. I mean, the buyout provision specifically says what the price is going to be for the first few years and what the price is going to be the next few years. The Board of Tax Appeals has, in fact, previously acknowledged that a transfer occurring well outside of a reasonable length of time based upon an actual buyout provision was not credible evidence for determining value. And the case of 1680 Properties specifically says that. That was a price determined 11 years prior to the lien date. There's also a case called Claycraft. Both of these cases are cited and discussed in the brief. And the Board of Education may argue that there was appraisal evidence presented in the 1680 Properties case, but in that Board of Tax Appeals decision, the BTA specifically said that sale is of that predetermined price was of limited utility. And they went ahead then to go ahead and address the appraisal evidence. So it did that twice, and what it did in this holding is it effectively reversed those two cases. The property owner argued that there was no clarification as to why they reversed those cases. They cited the AEI case, which we believe is not relevant and does not apply in this case, first of all, because it was a sale leaseback. Second of all, the AEI case dealt with an underlying lease but did not address at all buyout provision, and neither have the other Supreme Court cases such as Cummins and M.A. Richter, Rhodes, and so forth. They have not addressed this specific situation. The BTA did, in fact, address this specific situation and found that these predetermined prices from buyout provisions were not relevant for determining value.
I think at one point in your brief, you also mentioned the theory that that this contract involved a related party situation because of the different aspects of it. Are you still making that argument?
Yes, we're still making that argument. We will stand by the arguments in our brief as it relates to that. We're still making the argument that, of course, the parties were unrelated before they entered into the contract, and that they were then related after they entered into the contract.
And what would be the cases that would be relevant to that argument?
The BTA has, I would have to point to our brief.
Sure.
As to the actual citations.
Okay.
Of the cases, but we do have them in there. The second main issue that I would like to address is that the evidentiary burden was shifted to the property owner at the Board of Tax Appeals. And at the Board of Revision, the property owner submitted the buyout provision and detailed its arguments concerning why the sale was not good for setting value. The Board of Education then submitted a conveyance fee statement, but this was then rebutted by the property owner's evidence consisting of the buyout provision. The Board of Revision properly found the sale not to be good evidence of value. The property owner therefore rebutted the presumption accorded to the conveyance fee statement. But on appeal.
So your legal argument would be it's tied to the buyout provision and it's tied to the length of time between the negotiation. Would the proposition of law be whenever the length of time between the negotiated sale price and the consummation of the deal is more than a certain amount sale's no longer presumptively?
Yes, and then our argument would be 6 years, and that would be based upon what the county auditors, when they're required to revalue property, and in addition to all the other arguments that we have in our brief related to auditors having to revalue every 3 years, professional appraisal standards finding sales outside of 3 years not to be relevant, and the voluminous case law, the Board of Tax Appeals, finding sales outside of 3 years not to be relevant, sales within 3 years to be relevant.
But again, usually with the appraisal standards and most of the BTA cases, again, the concept of sale encompasses both the negotiation and the consummation of the deal.
Yes, and that is the specific facts in this case.
Yeah.
And it is a narrow exception that we're requesting. But we also believe that there is a serious issue of the burden shifting in this case, and that it was the Board of Education's burden, as they were appellant before the BTA, to prove that the sale was relevant. And this they did not do because they did not present anything at the BTA. There's two cases that we believe are very instructive on this point, and the first is the Lakota case. The second would be the Weber sisters case. And the Lakota case said that mere speculation by the BTA is not good enough. Now, that case actually kind of reversed the facts here and the fact that there was a sale that the property owner wanted to rely upon and the Board of Education said was not recent or arm's length, and we're arguing the opposite here. But it's still the same set of facts and circumstances in terms of evidence and in terms of the burden. The Weber sisters case, the Board of Revision, as in this case, found the sale to be unreliable and found evidence in the record to rebut the presumption accorded to the deed and conveyance fee statement. Similar to this case, the Board of Education never presented anything at the Board of Tax Appeals to make its case. Also, the Board of Tax Appeals never addressed specifically any errors by the Board of Revision, and like Weber sisters, there was no analysis of the recency of the sale. And we believe that rebutting a presumption doesn't mean that you have to outweigh that presumption, that you only have to counterbalance the presumption. And again, there's cases cited in our brief to support this, and it's longstanding case law in the state of Ohio. A lot of people presume that the presumption isn't irrefutable, you can just assume that a sale was not arm's length. And we would argue that the property owner submitted the buyout provision, made its argument that the sale was not recent, not arm's length, not relevant. The Board of Revision agreed. The Board of Education then appealed, but didn't present anything and didn't do anything in terms of evidence. We don't believe that the property owner should be held to a higher standard in terms of a burden than a Board of Education. We would obviously argue that we rebutted the presumption and that the Board of Education did nothing on appeal to meet their burden. I've already spoken about our belief that the parties were related and in terms of after they've entered into the contract, and again, I'll just stand by arguments in the brief there. But finally, revised code section 5715.01 requires that all facts and circumstances have to be taken into consideration in valuing property, and that this statute mandates that when considering valuing a property, you would have to look at such issues as the recency, you would have to look at the burden issues, and when the record as a whole is evaluated, the property owner would argue that there is no way any reasonable person could come to the conclusion that a sale price determined more than 6 years before the lien date would be considered to have occurred in a reasonable length of time.
Let me ask you before you sit down. There was an issue addressed by the BTA on the 1031 like-kind exchange, but I don't think that's in your brief here, is that right?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay. Thank you,
Nothing
Mr.
Further.
Lindholm.
Thank you.
Ms. Kalale, did I get that right?
You did.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Carrie Kalale, and I'm here on behalf of Appalee North Royalton City School District Board of Education. And we do believe this case is a burden of proof case in that, consistent with this court's holding in Worthington and Cincinnati and Cummins, the BTA is justified in viewing a conveyance fee statement and a deed that the school board has presented to the Board of Revision or the Board of Tax Appeals as constituting a prima facie showing of value. And then on a presentation of that evidence, a rebuttable presumption exists that the sale has met all the requirements that characterize true value, and typically the only rebuttal lies in challenging whether the elements of recency and arm's length character between a willing seller and a willing buyer are genuinely present for that particular case. And it's the opponent of using the sale that has the burden of proof to show that it either was not recent or was not arm's length. And in this case, the facts are that nothing but the underlying lease was submitted after the Board of Education presented a conveyance fee statement and a deed. No witnesses testified as to the nature of the transaction. No witnesses testified as the difference in market conditions between the time that the price was negotiated and the sale occurred. We believe that is critical in that the property owner failed to present any evidence except that an argument that obviously market conditions have changed. We also believe that the court has spoken as to the date of the conveyance fee statement that is filed, a transfer fee is paid, is when the sale occurs. And in this case, that is what has happened. We have a conveyance fee statement that was presented that shows a recent sale. We have also believed that the arm's length nature of the sale is present in that this court has also spoken that long-term relationships between landlord and tenant does not negate an arm's length the nature of a sale. And that you had asked about that case citation, and that was the Columbus versus Smith case. So we believe that all of the elements of a recent sale and an arm's length transaction have been provided, and that there has been no evidence to show and to negate any of those elements.
Now, Mr. Lindholm's point would be this is certainly an unusually long period of time between the parties entering into a contract where they agreed ultimately that there's going to be a sale and the time that the sale is consummated.
Perhaps, but again, we take it back to that it's a burden of proof case. If they felt that way, then there should have been evidence to support that argument, not just the fact that obviously market conditions have changed. And that's where we believe that they did not meet their burden of proof. We believe that the BTA accurately, lawfully reviewed what it had before it and made an accurate, lawful decision on those points. Thank you. They make two arguments, basically that there was a change in market conditions from the time that the price was negotiated and the sale occurred, and also that the facts surrounding the sale in 2005 are different from those in 1998. And again, without any evidence, without any witnesses to testify, they haven't presented any evidence, and so therefore we revert back to the sale as being the best evidence of value. And also with respect to the arm's length nature of the sale, there was no evidence of any economic hardship or duress, the kind that this court has determined would negate an arm's length sale, those present in the Lakeside case. Also, their parties were different on the conveyance fee statement as from the actual lease. The lease was between Coniglia and Giant Eagle. The conveyance fee statement indicated that it was between Coniglia and Riser Foods. Now, there is no evidence in the record. The BTA assumed that Riser Foods was an assignee of Giant Eagle, but there's no evidence to show that, so there is a question whether or not there's even related parties. So we are looking solely at the parties on the conveyance fee statement, the time that it was filed to be the recent arm's length transaction. And I know I have lots of time here, but that is really the crux of our argument, and I think we've set that out in our brief in full, and I think that the Board of Tax Appeals, based on the evidence that it was presented, accurately reviewed all of the evidence and decided the case within the scope of its deference. It's entitled to discretion to determine those facts, and we cannot consider evidence that's not in the record, and I think that's very important for this court in determining this case. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Galeo. Mr. Lindholm, you've reserved 11 seconds, but take a minute.
Thank you. We agree with the Board of Education that this is a burden of proof issue, and they had the burden of proof at the Board of Tax Appeals. Nothing was presented, similar to the Lakota case. I would point to
Does the issue of the parties to the Riser versus Giant Eagle, does that
I don't
matter
think that's
to
relevant.
The analysis?
I don't think that that's relevant, and as the BTA correctly pointed out, that Riser Foods was an assignee. I mean, in terms of the evidence, again, I would point back to whether or not we've counterbalanced the evidence, the presumption of the deed and conveyance fee statement. And counterbalancing doesn't mean that you have to outweigh with all sorts of evidence and testimony. Counterbalancing means that you have to have something in the record that counterbalances and sheds some light as to why the deed or conveyance fee statement is not relevant. And we believe that was agreed to by the Board of Revision. The Board of Revision found that the sale was not relevant. The only other comment I would have is that, similar to the Akron Center case recently decided by this court needs to look at the statutory construction of 5713.03 and what's a reasonable length of time, similar to the way it looked at 5715.19A2 in terms of construing that statute. It's a matter of law, and how a price predetermined 6 years before the lien date could possibly be reasonable, the property owner just does not find that to really hold any water whatsoever.
Thank you, Mr. Lindholm. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.